Well, you would probably not be surprised if I told you that there was a new reality TV show coming out this week. It seems like there's new reality shows, dozens I've not even heard of, coming out every single week. And you wouldn't be surprised if I told you that the show was about a immoral, obnoxious, multimillionaire celebrity, because we've got dozens of shows about immoral, obnoxious, multimillionaire celebrities. You probably wouldn't be surprised if I told you that this story, this TV show, was going to feature a billionaire businessman who boasts about the fact that he and his nephew were going to divide our country in two with a strategy to dominate every industry. And you wouldn't be surprised if I told you that this celebrity was married while at the same time having children with lots of different women. And when his wife later got pregnant, he decided to kick all the other women to the curb along with their children. You probably wouldn't be surprised. You wouldn't be surprised if this celebrity was making all sorts of outrageous posts in order to get attention and talking about how they were going to father thousands of children and rule over nations. And you probably wouldn't be surprised if this celebrity changed their name just to be cool. You'd say, oh, celebrities have done that before. And even if you turned on the news and saw that this celebrity had been arrested for trying to murder his own son with a knife, you probably wouldn't be surprised if people still tuned in the next week to watch this reality TV show. But maybe you would be surprised if I told you that all the details that I've just described are not about a reality TV star, but about a real person who lived 4,000 years ago. One of the greatest heroes of the Bible, the father and the beginner of not just one, but three of the world's greatest religions. That's right, I'm talking about Abraham, also known as Abram, the Bible character at the center of today's story. All of the things that I said were true about Abraham. Now, the thing is, we often don't think about biblical characters as real live people, but Abraham, he lived 4,000 years ago, and we've been hearing these stories about him probably since we were children. And so we tend to imagine him as this dusty, old, bearded dude with a robe, right? Who, if he was here today, would probably speak with a Scottish accent in Shakespearean English with these and thous. That's the kind of guy we imagine Abram to be. We just don't tend to think about Abraham and Sarah as real ordinary people who did some heroic things, but whose story also includes some pretty incredible mistakes. And so one of the goals of our journey through the Bible sermon series is that we will see these familiar Bible stories with fresh eyes. That we will begin to see Abraham and other Bible characters as ordinary, flawed, yet faithful followers of God. Not all that different from you and me. Maybe you haven't had children with someone other than your spouse, but we've all committed pretty serious sins of one kind or another that we'd be ashamed for people to know about. Perhaps you haven't lifted a knife to kill one of your children the way that Abraham did, but if you've had teenagers, I bet you wanted to at one time or another, and that's just as bad, isn't it? The fact is that the culture may be foreign to us, and it makes it hard for us to relate to all the details in the story. We don't raise livestock. We're not traveling nomads. We don't have male and female slaves. But in modern-day America, we certainly have our own sins and shortcomings. And at the heart of it all is this basic human struggle to live a good life, to tell the truth, and to be faithful to our family and friends and to God. And so when you get down to it, not all that much has changed in the human experience over the past 4,000 years. Now, one of those fundamental realities of the human experience is that we tend to view our life as a journey, don't we? Don't we talk about our life as a journey? Some of us view it as this grand epic adventure of which we are the protagonist. And if you're not that type of person, you know somebody who is, right? Or perhaps we view our life as a painful series of misadventures that are nonetheless tied together into a larger story. In either case, we tend to see our lives having a beginning and a middle and an ending. And the beginning is oftentimes something that we cherish, right? It's the place that we were born. It's the house that we grew up in. It's the parents who raised us and all those childhood memories. And oftentimes it's that middle of the story that gets a little bit messy, isn't it? Adulthood. adulthood involves all sorts of achievements, like graduating from school, perhaps choosing to get married and to have children of your own. But it will also include tragedies, getting into a car accident, losing a loved one, burying your parents, getting a divorce. So the story of our life, it has many ups and downs, just like the story of Abraham. But ultimately, we believe that our story is headed somewhere, don't we? We believe that God has a purpose in the midst of our ups and downs. We believe that we're ultimately headed for God's heavenly kingdom when we die. And so this series is called A Journey through the Bible, because we will see all of these elements of a journey or an adventure in the Bible. A cherished beginning, a messy middle, and a meaningful ending that shows that God has been with us all along. So every story has a beginning. Our Old Testament lesson this morning from Genesis chapter 12 starts with the beginning of Abraham's story. In fact, if you had looked just a few verses earlier at the end of chapter 11, you would read that Abraham, who was still called Abram at this point in the story, was born in the city of Ur. Now, Ur is located right on the Persian Gulf in what would now be the country of Kuwait. And then we learn that Abram's father, whose name was Terah, had decided to leave the city of Ur and to take his entire family on this journey north. They traveled all the way through what is today the country of Iraq, all the way through modern Syria. And the Bible says that they settled in the land of Haran, which is just over the Syrian border into the modern-day country of Turkey. And so I want us to focus for a moment this morning on this word, settled. Now, of course, in the most literal sense, when the Bible says that Terah's family settled in the land of Haran, it simply means they stopped traveling, right? They built permanent homes instead of tents. They put down roots, so to speak, in a given territory. But we also see in the beginning of Genesis chapter 12 that God had a plan for Terah's family that was bigger than simply going to Haran. So specifically, God's calling was that Terah's son Abram and his daughter-in-law Sarai would inhabit the promised land, and that he would become the father of many children, and that he would become the head of a great nation. And so God calls Abram to begin this journey out of Ur on the Persian Gulf that is supposed to end all the way in the promised land, essentially a trip all the way through what we call the Fertile Crescent. But Abraham didn't make it all the way through his journey. He goes through modern-day Iraq, through modern-day Syria, into modern-day Turkey, and he decides to settle for a little while in the land of Haran. And when he say that he settled for a little while, I mean he settled until he was 75 years old, which is more than just a little while. He settled there for most of his life. He stopped in the middle of the journey God had planned for him. Reminds me of one time when my daughter Lily was about 3 years old, and I took her for a hike one afternoon at a nearby state park where we were living in Blairsville at the time. And the beginning of the journey, she was just so excited to be going on a hike with Daddy. She picked up her walking stick. She was lifting her knees up to her chest as she marched. And we started on our way up the hill. And then no more than just a few hundred feet into the trail, I looked back behind me, and there was Lily sitting down in the middle of the trail. And I said, "Lily, what are you doing? We're supposed to be hiking, not sitting down in the middle of the trail." And Lily said something that she had heard her mother say before with tongue in cheek. She looked up at me and said, "I live here now. I live here now," which meant I'm not going anywhere. I live here now. Well, that's pretty much what Abram did, right? He got partway through this journey that God had called him on, and he decided to say, "I'm done hiking. I live here now." And you know, I think this is something that many of us have done at one point in our lives. We knew that God had big plans for our life. We knew that God had called us to do something special, to be part of something special. But we settled. Maybe it was a step that you wanted to take in your career or a business that you wanted to start. Maybe it was a vision for some ministry or nonprofit that would make a difference for Christ in our community. Maybe it was simply a desire to live a more healthy and a more disciplined life, whether that involves losing weight or following spiritual disciplines or reading the Bible and praying every day. We knew that God was calling us to do something big, but we got distracted. We got a little bit overwhelmed with life. Maybe we just decided to watch a few more episodes of TV or to scroll through our cell phone instead of doing what it was God was calling us to do. And we settled. We settled for less. Maybe you're here this morning and you're feeling pretty settled in your life. And maybe for you that's a good thing. Life is pretty comfortable. You have everything you need. Or maybe you're feeling a little bit anxious, wondering if perhaps you have settled for less than God's best plan for your life. Either way, if you're feeling settled, then perhaps you need to hear again these words that God spoke to Abraham when he had settled in the land of Haran. Coming from chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went and did as the Lord had told him. Now I want you to notice this morning that this famous passage of Scripture has three important parts. It has a command, it has a promise, and it has a response. Notice that the passage begins with a command. One powerful two-letter word with an exclamation mark after it. Go. Go. God commands Abram to go from his country, his kindred, and his father's house to the land that God will show him. Notice that God wants Abram to leave everything that's familiar to him, everything that he's comfortable with, all of his family and his friends. And Abram wants him to go to a land that I will show you. Not a land that he's already seen, a land that God will show him. It's kind of like when my kids were little and they would say, "Come follow me. Just grab me by the finger and try to get me to follow them." My son Theo in particular was famous for this when he was a toddler. He would often say, "Show me, show me." And what he really meant was that he wanted to show you something. And 9 times out of 10, he would take me by the hand and I would follow him and he would lead me to the kitchen and he would point at the cabinet where he knew the snacks were and he would say, "Snack, please, snack, please," because he wanted a snack. And he was a smart kid. He knew that if he had said to me, "Snack, please," when I was sitting comfortably on the couch, that I would have said, "No, it's not time for a snack right now," but I followed his cuteness and I would let him lead me to the kitchen. And by that point I said, "Oh, well, I might as well give the kid a snack." And that's not too different from what God does to Abram. God knows that God has great plans for him. But he doesn't tell Abram all the details. He doesn't tell him that there's people living in the promised land already and that they might have to battle them or that it's actually going to be 400 or 500 years before they actually make it to the promised land. He doesn't go into all the details. He just says, "Go to a land that I will show you." And so Abram has to step out in faith. And that's exactly how it is in our lives. God gives us these radical commands. God calls us to love others with reckless abandon. He calls us to live sacrificial lives for the sake of his kingdom. He calls us to go and make disciples of all nations. But God doesn't always tell us where our journey is headed. He just tells us to go. That's the first part, the command. The second part is where it gets good. God doesn't just give us a command, God also gives us a promise. In the case of Abram, God gives him a whole chain of promises. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, so that in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And the thing that we forget about this promise, I think, is just how ridiculous it would have sounded to Abram when he first heard it. These promises did not make any logical sense. He couldn't be the father of a great nation. He didn't have any children. His wife Sarai was barren, and he was 75 years old. What on earth was God thinking, making this kind of a promise to a man at the age of 75? And that's the way it is in our lives. We know that God has commanded us to do great things. and God has promised that He will be with us every step of the way. But we get caught up in the details, don't we? There's no way that I could go back to school and change careers at this point in my life. I'm not smart enough to do that. There's no way that I could have another meaningful relationship after the broken relationships I've had in my life. The list of excuses goes on and on, doesn't it? But what does God say to Abram 5 times in this passage? He says, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And Abram knows that when God says, I will, that God will not break His promise. And so we get to the third step, and that is Abram's response. We read these simple words, so Abram went as the Lord had told him. Now, if you're a parent, you know how wonderful it is when you tell your children to do something, and they don't whine, they don't complain, they don't find ways to get out of it. They just do it, right? Because as a parent, you would never tell your child to do something that wasn't good for them. But they don't always understand that. And likewise, in each of our lives, even if we have settled for second best, God still has a plan for us. And so it's up to us to choose to obey, to say yes to what God is calling us to do. And it's important to see in Abram's story that God promises to bless him. Not just for his own sake, but so that he can be a blessing to others. So that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And the same is true with us when we step out in faith. Whether we're taking a risk to start a new business or becoming more disciplined in our daily prayer life. Whatever it is that God is calling us to do, he has not blessed us for our own sake. He has blessed us so that we can be a blessing to others. And so every journey must have a beginning. Maybe your journey of faith started when you were baptized, when you were raised in the church. Or maybe your journey of faith started when you came to Christ as an adult. However your story began, it's entirely possible at this point that you've become a little bit settled in your faith. And so perhaps our journey through the Bible series this year is your opportunity to become unsettled in a most wonderful way. Abram was called out of Ur and out of Haran to go on a most magnificent adventure with many twists and turns and ups and downs that he could have never predicted. What is it that God is calling you out of this day? Is it a sinful behavior? Is it a bad attitude or an unhealthy relationship? And then most importantly, once we've become unsettled, we have to ask ourselves not, what is God calling us out of? But what is God calling us toward? The adventure begins today. In Jesus' name, amen.